Today is the third of our eighth in a series entitled The Upside Down Kingdom of Christ. And so he just has just come in to the scene here in the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount, and he starts laying out some things that are completely opposite and upside down of where we think we should be living our life. And so we're going to take the third one today, and we're going to talk about meekness. Some people think it means weakness, but it doesn't. You see, he starts off by saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Then he goes into, blessed are those who mourn. And then the third one is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. See, this is we're coming up into football season. How many likes professional and college football? That's all right to admit it. I like it, too. It's good. It's all right. Just don't make it our God. But you know how they have scouts to go out, and they're looking for the best men on to get on their team, the most qualified, the most talented, what have you. So the scout coming into the head coach, we'll just say it's the Panthers, okay? Scout coming out for the Panthers, he came up to the head coach and said, hey, coach, listen, I've got some ideas here, so I want to ask you some questions, go to some clarification. He says, do you want the guy who gets knocked down and he gets back up once? Or do you want the guy who gets knocked down, he gets back up, he gets knocked down, then he gets back up again? Or do you want the guy who gets knocked down and just continually gets up? And the coach says, you know what? I don't want any of those guys. I want the guy who's doing the knocking down. That's the guy I want. You know, we're looking at how we, in our lives, go into this state of being and living, and that we need to be strong, and we need to be the guy that knocks people down. There was a guy several years ago by the name of J. Upton Dixon. He was writing a book entitled Cower Power. And he also founded a group of submissive people. It was called DORMATS. It's an acronym, DORMATS, D-O-O-R-M-A-T-S. And it was an acronym for Dependent Organization of Really Meek and Timid Souls. And then a little tag on the end of it that says, if there are no objections. And their motto was, the meek shall inherit the earth if that's okay with everybody. And their symbol was the yellow traffic light to proceed with caution. You see, the thing is, the problem with that whole narrative there is that this man really didn't take the time to find out the definition of meek. Somehow the word meek has come to mean weak. The words certainly rhyme, but that's maybe that's why it is, but that's as close to the reality of how they're alike as it is, in that they only rhyme, but their definitions are nowhere near being similar. You know, people have always celebrated and exalted the strong and the great and the powerful. Our world celebrates those things. We're impressed with those who knock the other guy down. We got superheroes who are imaginary, and they're huge at the box office. Every time a superhero comes out, you can always count on it being a blockbuster. They're celebrated. Then we have these weightlifters. We have these Olympic athletes, and we place them on pedestals as if they're mighty. And there's even phrases such as power lunches and power suits and power drinks that I guess make us, I don't know, more powerful as we wear them and eat them and drink them. In fact, I think I'm going to try it this week. I'm going to go put on a power suit sometime this week. And if anybody wants to join me, you put on your power suit. We're going to go out for a power lunch. I'll bring a couple of power drinks that we can drink. That's going to be a really powerful day that day. So wait for that phone call. You know, we see people from children in the playground to politicians in Washington, D.C., and they're jockeying for position and power. There's certain people's approach to life as you hear these phrases, only the strong survive. You hear the strong will rule the weak. You hear looking out for number one, and that's how many people live their lives. Meekness in people is equal to weakness in people's minds, and no one wants to be labeled as weak. No one wants to be a doormat. So when Jesus came on the scene and he began his public ministry by saying that you'll actually get ahead and be much better off, you'll even inherit the earth by being meek, that just doesn't jibe with all that we see as success and accomplishment in our culture. I mean, how can the meek inherit the earth? But see, the fact is that Jesus said it, and so we must contend with what he said. And here's the other thing. He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't beneficial to us. And he wouldn't have said it if it wasn't something that we needed to embrace and to live out. Being meek is a good thing, something to be desired and which we need to work towards and to attain. This is our third week in the series of the Upside Down Kingdom of Christ, as Jesus reveals eight brief but life-changing upside down phrases, as we know it as the Beatitudes, that represents the opposite of what the world says and what the world celebrates. And today I want us to look at what it means to be meek. Now I'm going to save the definition of what meek is all about until later on in the message here today, so stay with me. And I hope, though, that by the end of our time here today, that we'll see how being a meek person isn't being a doormat, but it's actually being the doorway into the greatest inheritance that you'll ever experience. So how many would like that inheritance this morning? Okay, so if you will open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and let's look at what it is to be meek. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 1. I'll start at the very beginning of his Sermon on the Mount, just a few verses here. Verse 1 says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.'" Now, we saw in the first Beatitude a couple of weeks ago how being poor in spirit means to be inwardly broken, in other words, being spiritually bankrupt, also to be outwardly humble towards others, and then finally to be upwardly dependent upon God for everything in our lives. Now, last week, we learned about mourning, and actually mourning was not about how you are being comforted when you lose a loved one or something tragic happens in your life, which I think many of us saw that verse as, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted," as applying it to that area of their lives. And I'll tell you this, that the Holy Spirit is here to comfort us in those times. But that's not what this verse was talking about. That's not what Jesus was talking about. What he was talking about last week when we looked at, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted," he was actually saying that blessed are those who are deeply sorrowful for their sin, to the point where they're so repentant because they see their sin as God sees it, to the point where they realize how putrid and repulsive that their sin is, and as they truly repent of it, they'll enjoy the comfort that only his forgiveness can bring. It shines an entirely different light on blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted, when you realize that he's talking about our awful sin and how God sees it, and how we truly repent, and how God truly comforts us. And so today, as we look at what Jesus is telling us to do, that we're blessed when we're meek, blessed to the point of inheriting the earth, it's just like the first two, it sounds contradictory. How can someone with the approach of not going after it end up with it all? It's absolutely upside down. So let's define meek. But in order to do that, we need to go to the word as it shows up in its original form in its Greek in the Greek word. And I want you to say this word with me. It's praeus. It's up on the screen. It's just as it sounds. Praeus. Say it with me. Praeus. It's like us pray. Pray us. Let us pray. Pray us. And it occurs four times in the New Testament, including in our text in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. So here's our first stop. It's going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And Peter was actually speaking to women when he wrote this. He said, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." Now here, this word praeus is translated as gentle. When you see he says gentle and quiet spirit, it's a praeus and quiet spirit, a gentle and quiet spirit. So you say this word praeus, where we see it in the book of Matthew chapter 5:5, it was interpreted as meek. You see it in 1 Peter 3:4, it's interpreted as gentle. So God's word is telling us that we should not focus so much on the outward, but on the inward self. And just by the way, guys, this isn't just for women. This verse isn't just for women, okay? It's not just picking on the women. In fact, I've seen this verse take, and a whole denomination is established with it, where women don't wear makeup and jewelry, and they grow their hair long and the whole bit. And that's not what this is talking about at all. It's focusing on the wrong things. What he's really saying, what God's word is saying to us, is there's a gentle and quiet spirit that God wants you to work on. Don't worry about the outward stuff. Focus on the inward stuff. And just as the women, he's talking about adorning with the jewelry and the makeup and the different things. Guys, I got to tell you that all of us, some of us too, we get caught up in the same trap. The only thing is we exalt our masculinity and our he-man posturing as if that's the most important thing about us. And it goes both ways in that women and men are alike encouraged to take on a praeus, a meek, a gentle, a quiet spirit that has nothing to do with their outward appearance. Ladies, you know the scripture in Proverbs 31:30. It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. We're not going to be beautiful all of our lives. You know, outwardly, these things happen, right? The old age gets on to us, and we're beautiful no matter what. By the way, let me just say this. Ladies, you're beautiful when you're 90 or you're 9, all right? It doesn't matter about the outward stuff. Can I get an amen from the men? All right, thank you, men. You needed to say that pretty loudly, all right? Did it hurt when your wife did this to you just a second ago? Guys, here's the other one. Wait, ladies, get ready. Get ready to nudge your husbands. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore, don't lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away. Amen. Yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Ladies, say amen. See, now that the men are nudging you. All right. So meek, or that word praeus, in this verse means inward gentleness. Write that down if you're taking notes. Inward gentleness. That's our first stop. Here's the second stop. Here we are in Matthew chapter 21, verse 5. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, Jesus was actually saying this. He was quoting a verse in the Old Testament in Zechariah 9:9. He was actually talking about himself. And he was saying in a way that he was describing himself as praeus and riding on a donkey. In other words, he was gentle and riding on a donkey. Now, let's just stop for just 1 second and think about this. Here's Jesus. He's the captain of the host of the heavenly armies. Here's Jesus, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Jesus, the conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. He's the ruler of everything seen and unseen. He's Jesus, the great and mighty victorious warrior over Satan and all of his demons. Jesus being the Son of the Most High God. And of all the words that he could have used to describe himself, riding on that donkey, he said of himself that he was gentle. You know, he didn't say all-powerful. He didn't say majestic. He didn't say awesome or holy or righteous. He didn't say glorious, perfect, all-wise, or even noble. He could have said all those things. He could have said even more than those things. But instead of all the words that he could have used, the one word that he did use was gentle. A gentle commander. A gentle warrior. A gentle conqueror. Sounds contradictory, doesn't it? Imagine, I guess we imagine in the book of Revelation that it's described how one day he's going to be coming as the mighty conqueror riding on the white horse, and he's going to come out of heaven to slay the rebellious people on the last day at the Battle of Armageddon, and all the powers of hell that once and for all will be vanquished. That doesn't sound very gentle, does it? At least in our minds. Maybe we have a wrong idea of what gentle and meek means. So let's continue our tour and see where this is going. Here's our third stop. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He says this, Jesus is talking about himself. He's just saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. There's that word again, praeus. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So here's Jesus now. He's inviting us to come to him, who are so weighed down and weary and burdened, and take his yoke upon him, and also then to learn from him. For he is praeus and humble in heart. In other words, he's gentle and humble in heart. Now, I like the Message translation. I think it's beautiful, and I want to talk about it for just a moment because it's worth looking at here. I want us to listen to this. It says, come to me and get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace, and I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Say that with me. Say, the unforced rhythms of grace. Say that. The unforced rhythms of grace. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? The unforced rhythms of grace. I want us to talk about that for just a minute. I want to show you a picture of two oxen that have a yoke. You ever seen an oxen yoke? An oxen yoke is actually designed for two oxen to walk in tandem, both harnessed to the same yoke. If you fight against the other, If they fight against one another, they're going to fail miserably. But if they yield and work in cooperation with one another in an unforced rhythm, they will greatly succeed. And my understanding, too, is that actually it's kind of an unspoken thing, but one of the oxen will actually take the lead. It's just one will have the leadership ability and the other will follow in its way. Both of them can't lead. Only one can lead. But they're both equally yoked, if you see that. One is not in front of the other. One's not completely in front of the other. That bar goes straight across, and they're attached to the same place, to the back of the oxen's neck. But one of the oxen takes the lead, and the other yields. And what Jesus was saying, as you keep that picture up for just a minute, Jesus was saying to take that heavy, burdensome, wearying yoke that the world says you must wear and place instead his easy yoke upon you. What he's saying is that he's going to be right by your side, and he's going to model for you how to walk in the unforced rhythms of his grace. He will lead, and we follow in pace with that unforced rhythm. Now, you see, the world's yoke is going to yank you around and weary you. You'll make no headway with the world's yoke. In fact, you'll fail miserably. But follow the Lord's lead in his easy and light yoke, and it will bring you great success. In fact, as Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That's what Jesus promised us. And by the way, that doesn't just mean you're going to inherit a tree and a plot of land and a lake by it, and you know, you got a particular part of the earth that you want to inherit. What he's talking about here is that you're going to inherit everything that should come your way from my kingdom to yours. That's what it always means when he talks about the earth. He's not talking about soil and a tree and a rock. He's talking about the things from his kingdom, everything that he's created, everything that he has in store for you, every blessing. How many would like that? See, that's what he's talking about. You may have a plot of land you may be interested in grabbing hold of somewhere. Maybe it's a beachfront condo or something. I don't know. But that's not what he's talking about. Oh, I got some earth I want to inherit. How about all of it? How about everything that God's created, everything seen and unseen? Everything that is at his disposal is yours. It's what he's saying. All right. So I want us to put this together today. You can take those oxen off the screen. I'm tired of them staring at me. I feel like they're looking down at me. What? All right. So we have this Greek word pronounced praeus that is defined meek only in Matthew chapter 5. But then there's three places as it's defined as gentle. But then in our last scripture where we just read about take the yoke upon you, for my yoke is take off that old yoke and put on my yoke, for it's light and easy. We see how it actually gives us one more facet, one more little clue here on this word meek or gentle that I want us to look at, and here it is. Have you ever seen a wild stallion? I'm talking about a wild stallion, the kind that aren't trained. A picture of them running down, you know, through the plains of Montana, let's say. I mean, a beautiful wild stallion. A lot of power, a lot of strength in those wild stallions. They're powerful, but they're uncontrolled in their energy. They refuse to allow a saddle or a harness on them. Have you ever seen someone try to break a bucking bronco and finally get them tamed where you can ride them? That's what we're talking about. When the stallion is tamed and trained, and the stallion chooses to submit his strength to be harnessed and controlled by another, the strength of the stallion becomes useful to the one in which it submits itself. I've shared this before several years back, but I want to share it again for those of you who may be new and some of you who need to be reminded of it. Back in the medieval days, that process that I just described was called meeking. M-E-E-K-I-N-G, meeking. What they did was, back in the day, they would break a wild stallion to the point where they would get it under control and harness it for its energy. When you meek a horse, you harness its energy. They called it meeking, and the same applies to us. You see, when we allow Christ to take our energies, our passions, our goals, listen to this, our anger, our rage, our impatience, listen, our fleshly lashing out, all of those things, not just the good stuff, but the stuff that kind of gets us in trouble too. You know what I'm talking about? When we give him all of those energies that are unharnessed and wild and stallion-like, roaming free and being used for no good purposes, And we give him all of those things, and we allow him to harness us, and we allow ourselves to be yoked with him, and we allow ourselves for him to lead us, then we actually become meek. So here it is. I told you I was going to give you the definition of what meek was. Here's the definition of meek. Meek doesn't mean that you're timid. Meek doesn't mean that you're weak. Meek isn't being a doormat. I asked someone before service today, define meek for me. They said, well, that means weak, doesn't it? I said, exactly. That's what people think. Listen up here, because that's not what it means. Meek means strength harnessed. Write it down. Strength harnessed. You see, it's the strength of a stallion. All of us have the strength of a stallion. All of us have strength in our lives. And we can choose to use it for our own purposes, or we can yield it and submit it to Christ. And when we yield it and submit it to Christ, our strength harnessed, and we become yoked in an unforced rhythm of grace with him, we will accomplish great things. We will inherit the earth. That's what Jesus was talking about. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. When we submit our strength to Christ, he harnesses it for our good and for his glory. We're no longer part of the problem, folks, but we become part of the solution. We're no longer a shoot and ask questions later individual, but instead, we patiently and gently work through the process of reconciliation. We no longer walk in anger and unforgiveness, but we love and we forgive, and on it goes. When we allow him to harness our strength for his purposes, we take this flesh and we submit it to God. We allow ourselves to be yoked with Christ as he guides us, as he takes the lead in this unforced rhythm of grace. You see, Jesus is very intentional. And he was intentional in the order of these Beatitudes, by the way. These are not random, and they're not disconnected. They're orderly, and they're completely connected to each other. The entry into this new way of living, this upside-down kingdom that Jesus is preaching, is to realize your spiritual bankruptcy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then he says, you approach God humbly with deep sorrow for your sinful life, that mourning that says, I see my sin as you do, and I repent, and I means I turn away from it. I completely walk away, and I'm not going to think that you're going to wink at it. I'm not going to justify it anymore. I repent. I mourn for my sin so that you can comfort me with your forgiveness and that reconciled relationship with you. And then, as I'm there in that reconciled relationship, I now give you my strength. I allow you to harness my strength, my fleshly strength, and I allow you now to model for me the unforced rhythms of grace. That's being meek, is to say, Lord, my strength in my life is not my own. I'll follow your lead. And it must be done, folks, in that order. You can't give him your strength without mourning for your sin. You can't mourn for your sin unless you come to him realizing that there's nothing that you can do to be saved except to just come and say, Lord, have mercy on me. You can't have one without the other, and you can't start from the third and go to the first. You got to go with the first one and then go to the second one and go to the third one. And I can't tell you that there's actually five more that's coming up. So hang on, because he keeps building on this. They all work together in order to usher into our lives, Christ's marvelous upside-down kingdom of living. So what are we to do with this today, folks? What in the world can I do to walk in meekness? Well, first is this. If you haven't even started with the first one and being poor in spirit, if you haven't faced and owned up to and had confessed to that you're proud and you feel like that you've got your salvation based on, I don't know, you're related to somebody, or you come to church all the time, or you do great things, or you're generous and you give stuff to people, or works, in other words. If you feel like that you're saved based on that sort of thing, or any other measure, then come to the reality that, folks, you're only saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus and his finished work. The blood that he shed on the cross is the only way that we can be cleansed of our sins as it's applied to our sinful heart. There's not a thing you can do. It's already been done. You simply open up the door to your heart and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me. Come on in and wash me clean. That's the first step. If you haven't done that, the other two don't matter. So take that first step. If you've done that, the second step is this. Lord, help me to see my sin like you see it. And help me to walk in repentance towards you every day. And it's not just a one and out sort of thing. It's not a one and done thing, folks. I tell you what, I took a bath yesterday. But you know what? Be thankful I took a bath this morning. And my wife's going to be glad I'm going to take one tomorrow morning. And I'm going to take a bath every day. Because if I don't, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to smell like roses. That's what's going to happen. Oh, rotten roses. I'm going to stink. Turn to someone this morning and say, I'm glad you took a bath. Yeah. And I hope you did take a bath. Maybe turn to someone this morning and say, you need a bath. All right. But folks, we need to come to him all the time. I mean, continually. Stay under that spout where the glory comes out and that washing of the water of his word and that place of just being refreshed in his presence. I mean, stay right there. Don't ever think that you got saved when you're 10 years old and you can live the way you want to the rest of your life and you're good to go. That's not how it works. Listen, I get cleaned up all the time. I mess up all the time, and I'm so thankful for God's grace. I encourage you to do the same. And then finally, that third one. Oh, man, take that yoke off. Just take it off. Here we are today. We got this heavy yoke. The world tells us we got to be cool. We got to be strong. We got to be beautiful. We got to be number one. We got to be all this stuff. Man, let it go. Take off that yoke and put on the yoke that is easy. And allow him to meet you. Don't fight against it. Oh, this yoke. This yoke. I embrace it. I embrace this yoke. Lord, harness my strength for your glory and for my good. Lord, I allow you to model for me your gentleness as you walk alongside me and you lead me, yoked in your unforced rhythm of grace. Oh, it's a beautiful place to live. Not easy, but beautiful. Folks, you don't have to lash out in your life. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to always fight. That's not being meek. That's an unharnessed strength in your life that is lashing out when you do it that way. Allow the Lord to harness those things. Know who you are in Christ. Be confident of who you are in Christ. Be secure of who you are in Christ. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to fight. Jesus, boy, I tell you what, when he was accused of so many things, think about it, the last day of his life here on earth, and they lied about him, and they lashed out about him, and they beat him nearly to death. And the Bible says he didn't open up his mouth to defend himself. Why? Because he knew who he was. He knew who he was. He was meek. He allowed his Father to harness his strength for his purposes and for our good. Psalm 37:11 says the meek, in other words, those who've allowed Christ to harness their strength, will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. So listen this morning. While the world rages on about one temporary, futile thing after another, you can turn on Fox News or any other news, and they're always talking about something. How many get your blood pressure up every day when you see all that stuff going on? Oh, it's just ridiculous. There's agendas going on out there, folks, and you're not required to get sucked up into them. It's your choice to turn that thing off. Tune that stuff out. The world says you got to be concerned about this. This is an important issue. Wear this heavy yoke. And you say, no, I take that off. And I'm going to place on this yoke that Christ has for me. And what is that yoke? To love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as we love ourselves. That's the yoke. Love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as we love ourselves. That's the first two and greatest commandments. That's what he said. That's all we need to do. Preach the gospel. Love others by preaching the gospel, telling them about Jesus Christ. Just love. Love others as Christ loves us. I want us to expend our energies on the things that are eternal and worthwhile. How about you? You want to just give your energies to the things that are eternal and worthwhile instead of just spinning your wheels? Let's live out this unforced rhythm of grace. How does that sound? Does that sound good? Anybody on board with this? All right. Got a couple of you. That's good. rest of you, man, walk out here with them heavy yokes. It's your choice. But, man, I'll tell you, why? Why? You know, that's why Jesus could stay silent when his accusers were lying about him. That's why he told us to turn the other cheek. That's why he told us to forgive. That's why he told us to walk the extra mile, to give the extra coat, to not respond in kind to ugliness and hatefulness. He was meek. His strength was intentionally harnessed by God for his heavenly Father's eternal purposes, and so should ours. So should ours. Christ is in you. Oh, I can't do this on my own, Pastor. Exactly. That's why he's saying, yoke with me, and I'll show you how to do it. You've invited me into your life. Let me show you how to do it. You cannot be meek in your own strength. You can be wild in your own strength. You can be an unharnessed wild stallion in your own strength, but only Christ can meek you. Only Christ can take that strength and harness it for his glory. All of you have strength in this place. Oh, how many horsepower does your car have? That's why they call it horsepower, because it's powerful. We all have horsepower in us. It's the power of the strength that God has put in our lives, and we can expend it to hurt people or for our own strength or for our own purposes and energy, or we can give it out to Christ and say, Lord, I'm only here for a short period of time, just a moment in all of eternity. I want to do what I do for you. I want my energies to be expended for you. I want your energies to be expended for him as well. And that's what we can do with this today. Let's allow our strength to be intentionally harnessed for God's eternal purposes and to be yoked in tandem with Christ in his unforced rhythms of grace. I'm going to rephrase this and flesh it out. Blessed are the meek, for they inherit the earth. I'm going to say it this way. Blessed are those who have their stallion strength harnessed by God and who are yoked with him. For they shall inherit the earth, which means that there's no limit to what you can accomplish, to what you can discover, and to what you can be in this life and the world to come. How does that sound? It's doable, but it's not in your own strength that you can do it. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. You know, you heard Pastor Brent talk earlier this morning about in the announcements how we exist at this church. We exist to know Christ as Savior, to grow in him as Lord, and then also to go for him as his hands and his feet extended. There's a lot of people that need to see that meekness in this world today. They don't see it modeled. Meekness is not weakness, but meekness is strength harnessed, and there's a lot of people that need to see you and I bridle our tongue. They need to see you and I act Christ-like in certain ways. They need to see us give that extra coat, walk that extra mile. They need to see us model that out, to be Christ, to be his hands and feet extended as part of going. And I want to, I just was talking to Jane a little bit. Actually, Kathy was talking to me about Jane and a story that you have to share. Jane, would you mind standing up? I want to just let folks know, first off, Jane Willis, beautiful, wonderful, godly woman in this church. But she, maybe you don't know, but she actually has a, what are they called? A service? No. Therapy dog. I knew there was a word for it. I couldn't think of it. A therapy dog. And he's a good-sized dog. But but his strength has been harnessed. You know, he's not a wild dog. He's not an attacking dog. He's a therapy dog. What is an example of, what's his name?
Wally.
Wally the therapy dog. I want you to share an example of what Wally the therapy dog, his strength has been harnessed, he's a meek dog. What does he do?
He goes to the hospital, the nursing homes, college, and brings comfort. He opens doors, really, because it's through him that people's hearts are softened and they're open to the gospel. I met a gal in the hospital last year, and she came in with pretty minimal symptoms. Her feet didn't work right, but she asked to see a dog. So I went up there. I went in the door with Wally, and she says, "A dog, show me the dog." You know, they always look at the dog. And so we visited for a while. And I kept going back every week, and she was thrilled to see the dog. But that door was opening. Every time I'd say, "Do you love Jesus?" "Yeah." "Can I pray with you?" "Yeah." After a couple visits, I asked, "Is Jesus your Lord and Savior?" "Yep." And so as I kept going, and her strength decreased, and it impacted her legs, and then her body, and her arms, her throat, her head. She was diagnosed with ALS. And when they made the diagnosis, they sent her to a nursing home. And so I went there 2-3 times a week. She loved to see Wally. She loved her chicken McNuggets. She'd say, "Bring me chicken McNuggets." And so I'd take chicken McNuggets. And she'd say, "Now, here's one for me, and Wally gets one." Well, that's breaking the rules, but who cares? They both liked it. So, but her heart was opening to me and to the Lord. And we got to talk about the Lord a lot. And I met others who visited her. Her background was not good. Her friends were not good. But the people I saw who came and visited her were from a church she went to. And she went to that church because she was in need of food. We met her place of need, her point of need, her perceived need. She went to a food bank. And then she started going to the church. And they led her to the Lord. And then she was hospitalized. And so in that whole process, she became a Christian. She got Christian friends. I got to pray with some of the other brothers and sisters that visited her. And there was a unity in the body of Christ because of that. And the most profound thing she ever said was, "If it took ALS for me to come to the Lord, it's okay." She knew what ALS was. She knew what it was doing. But she said, "It's worth it if I receive Jesus in the process." And she'd received Jesus. I went to her funeral. I met some of her family. And I learned in that process that if we meet people's felt needs, sometimes that's where the Lord opens the door. Sometimes that's where we can pray with others from other churches and build a unity in the body. I learned to appreciate the fact that I can lift my hands in worship. She came to the place I'd play music on the phone. She could no longer lift her hands. She couldn't sing the songs. Lift your hands. Kick your feet. Yell your praises. Use your body to worship the Lord, every bit of it that you've got. And I learned what a privilege it is to take whatever you have in your hand, be it a dog or a kitchen or a book or a hammer, whatever he's given you in your hand, and go out and love on people. And he'll do the rest. But if we just go, he'll do the rest. He'll open the doors because he's that kind of God.
Yeah, thank you, Jane. Yeah, and to take the analogy that you used about the hammer and the book and the kitchen and the dog, those are all strengths that we can use to our purposes or for God's purposes. We actually are meeking that hammer for the purposes of building someone's home, or meeking that frying pan to make a meal, or you name it. I wanted you to share that just because there's so many ways that we can apply this message this morning. The strength that we have comes out through our cooking and constructing and therapy dogs and other things that we can do in our lives. What is it that God has put in you that is a strength in your life, that's a passion, that you're using maybe for your own purposes, or you just set it aside, not using it at all? How can you let the Lord harness that for his purposes? That's part of being meek as well. I hope that this morning, this taking this word, "blessed are the meek," this phrase, "blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth," and taking that word meek and defining it as strength harnessed, totally flips your understanding of what meek is all about and how you can apply it to your life. If so, then the Lord has succeeded this morning. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? I'm going to ask the folks to come that are on the altar team. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to invite those here this morning to two different groups of people. The first is this. This morning you may have come into this place and you're here for the first time, or you've been coming for quite some time, maybe several weeks, and here you are saying, you know, I've listened to these messages. It's speaking to my heart. I know that I need to do what's that first step? That's really just to come humbly before the Lord and confess my sins, and just to say, Lord, I mourn. I see my sins like you see them, and I repent, and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Invite Him in your heart. I want to invite you this morning to lead you in a prayer. That once you pray this prayer, you'll be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. Your sins will be washed clean. You'll be a new creation. You'll be what, you probably heard the phrase, you'll be born again. This will be your birth date in heaven today. April the 22nd, 2018. It's your second birth date, born again. That could be your birth date today. Folks, we're not guaranteed another day. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying that you have this opportunity. The Bible says today, now, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Don't wait until it's going to be better, or you get older, or things work out a little more lined up in certain ways. Listen, it's never going to be a perfect time. Satan's going to make sure of that, I promise you. He's always going to give you an excuse to kick that can down the road and delay this, but don't delay it. Not one more moment. If you want to ask Jesus in your heart, or if you want to ask Jesus in your heart, recommit your life to the Lord today. Maybe you strayed away from Him, and today you want to, you know, come back and give your life to Him again. Well, today's your day. So with every eye closed and head bowed, I ask you this morning, if that's you, you either want to get saved or you want to recommit your life to the Lord, just slip up your hand with me. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Three. Anybody else? You want to get saved, you recommit your life to the Lord. You can put your hand back down and you just appreciate that. Anybody else, lift up your hand. Say, I just need to ask Jesus in my heart this morning. I want to get saved. I want to recommit my life to the Lord. Anybody else, slip up your hand and put it right back down and we'll pray together quickly. I'm not going to belabor this. Anybody else? Okay. Let's pray this prayer. The Bible says, and I want us to all pray it. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, you will be saved. So I want to all pray this prayer. Say these words with me. Say it. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. And I come to you today asking you to forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean of all my unrighteousness. I invite you into my heart to be the Lord of my life. I thank you that I'm now born again, and that from this moment on, I commit to you, to serve you, to love you, to get to know you, and to grow in relationship with you. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come into my heart and to fill me with your power and your presence and your wisdom and your strength. Now, Lord, I thank you today. As folks have prayed this prayer, they've recommitted their hearts to you, or they're coming to know you for the very first time. Holy Spirit, they've invited you into their life as well. Spirit of Christ, won't you come and make yourself so crystal clear, real to them in their minds and their hearts and their emotions and their spirits and every facet of their being. Oh, become so real to them. Walk with them from this place. Talk with them. Oh, God, I thank you that you're going to help them to grow in relationship with you from this moment on. Now, again, with every eye closed and head bowed, if you have, up to this moment, allowed your strength to be unharnessed, if you have walked through your life lashing out in anger or unforgiveness or utilizing your things for your own gain and building your kingdom, whatever emotions, whatever thoughts, whatever words, whatever things in your life have just been wild, like a stallion, and unharnessed, and you've taken that yoke of the earth, of the world says, our world says that you must wear this yoke, and you're just so tired of it. You're tired of it yanking you in the way that it wants you to go, and you know that that route, that path is not good. It's going to It's a path of failure. It's a path of despair. It's a path of heartache. It's ultimately a path of death. And today you want to take that yoke off. And you want the Lord to harness you, to meet you in your strengths, your energies, all that represents who you are, to meet you and harness you and to yoke you with him and let him lead you, let him guide you, let him model for you what that looks like to be like him, to be meek, to let your strength be harnessed for his glory and for your good. If that's you this morning, you're tired of the whole wild stallion thing, and you want to be harnessed and yoked with Christ, just lift up your hand this morning and say, I'm tired of the whole running around and doing my own thing. Just lift up your hand and put it right back down. Oh, let's just all pray together. Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just hands here and there. Thank you. Father, we thank you this morning for helping us to yield to you, to yield to you our will, to yield to you our minds, to yield to you our emotions, to yield to you our hearts, to yield to you our abilities, to yield to you our possessions, to yield to you our goals, to yield to you our relationships, to yield to you our past, to yield to you our hurts, to yield to you the things that have brought us to where we are today, everything that represents us. We give you permission to harness those things. Won't you harness them? Harness our strength, any wildness in us, any unharnessed things about us. We invite you now to harness them. And now won't you yoke us with you and then guide us, model for us what that looks like to walk a life of meekness, harnessed strength in you. And then, Father, may everything that we say and do and think bring glory to your name, strength to your people. May everything that we say and do and think make a difference for all of eternity as you meek us. And, Father, continue to meek us every day. Holy Spirit, show us when we're being a wild stallion, prompt us at that moment to say, hey, that's not meek. That strength is not harnessed. And show us what that looks like, that we can yield to you that and allow you to harness it. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.